Well, welcome to Flowery Branch on a Monday. We get ready for Week 9 in the NFL with the Falcons headed to the West Coast. And, of course, head coach Dan Quinn with us here in this first half hour with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. And a tough day at the office yesterday. You rally all the way back, get it to the overtime. Tampa gets the field goal, and you guys turn it over on downs at the end. But, boy, I know a frustrating day probably more than anything else, wasn't it?
I think for us, we know it's about the ball. And so for us to have a chance even to be in the game when you're minus four, I think speaks to a lot of the toughness and the competitiveness that we have as a unit. Our guys will continue to battle. I think all of us thought we were right. Went into overtime. We had a stop. It's a field goal. We're about to go win. And then when it didn't happen, it wasn't like, I hope we win. It was more in the fashion of, all right, this was going to happen. So when it didn't go our way, you know, we can come back today and look at it and say, man, the penalties and the turnover margin, that's when we're at our best. And to make sure those things get handled in the right way.
Dan, that's what struck me is you go into halftime, you're down, they come out, they get a score, whatever it is. But you, there was never any thought that you weren't going to come back and win the game, mm-hmm. let alone come back and tie it at the end. So I think that's something that I think a lot of, I think that's what your team believes they're going to beat it and do.
We do. And I think as the players, they believe in one another. We as coaches, we totally believe in the guys. So when we didn't finish the game like we were accustomed to, I said, man, that's we don't like that. And for us, we know, you know, getting through it today and going through with the guys, that's an important part of the process to make sure we're as disciplined as we can get in all parts of our football.
Is it just those two areas you think that are probably the changing the balance of winning and losing?
I totally do.
Okay.
And there's been lots of areas that we've shown improvement. You know, there's some things defensively we're doing way better in terms of tackling. I think it was ended up being 5 missed tackles. We had a game where they're 10 and 11, so we cut that number in half. You know, I think we completed over 80% of our passes. It's unusual to have a game where you don't punt and you lose. And you said, man, you know, when's that time ever happened? So for us, we know it comes down to the ball, and that's when we're at our best. Defensively, when we're ball hawking and trying to give the opportunities back to the offense to keep letting them go and attack, and then making great decisions, full-speed decisions, but great ones on offense.
So often when you win and lose in this business and having been around the game for a while, it's the coach and the quarterback. You know, when you start talking about things like that, and obviously Ryan's is drawing some of the criticism out there. Ryan goes 25 of 26 in the second half for 225 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm not sure you can play any better than that.
Yeah, he let it rip, and I kind of expected that. He had a really good week of practice, so I was not surprised to see him play so well. You know, does the interception want again? For sure he does, but I thought he was really, you know, aggressive, good ball. I think he threw to 10 different receivers,
yeah.
You know. At one point, I think Julio was, you know, targeted 12, had about 11 catches. So for him, I thought, you know, it was really, he let it rip and had a really good game.
Well, we're going to visit with Jacob Tammy in the player spotlight today, but your team walked into the record book yesterday. First time in Falcon history, two players with 10 or more catches and same two guys with 100 or more yards. I mean, that's pretty strong now. No matter what kind of scenario it happens.
And then you add that with Free and the way we're able to run the ball.
Right.
So the yards were there and moving the ball was there. So it totally, you know, I think two of the, you know, turnovers happened in the red zone. So we're not completing some of these drives where we're moving it with the points. That's where it comes back to get us, and it certainly did yesterday.
Well, and I think that obviously you want to fix some of the things that have created the problems that have allowed two teams to beat you this season in two of the last three. But I think we'd be really missing the point here if we didn't think about some of the superlatives. This was a team in Tampa that was committing 7 guys to try to stop the run, and you still ran the ball on them.
Yep, and we knew that was going to be the case. Okay, how do teams want to play us? Because we are unique in the way that we're able to run it. We've got guys that we can take shots down the field to. So we have this unique balance in our game, and that's exactly what I was hoping for in the run-pass balance, to have different ways to attack where you're not just completely relying on, okay, if we don't throw it for 400 yards or if we don't run it for 200 yards, but having that balance I thought was the real key. So it really came down to the ball, and, you know, I just want to point out the toughness and the competitiveness of the team to even have a chance to come back. It really speaks a lot.
And you had to cycle through those turnovers too. Not only the one – you had 3 straight possessions ending turnovers – then you had the end of the half, which was 1 snap, and then the fumble. So 4 or 5 possessions, and actually maybe 4 in a row if you want to, you know, take out the one play before the break. And they battled back from all of that.
Yep, and then even the penalties caused us to come back. We didn't necessarily, you know, get off track with the penalties, but you make it hard when it's 1st and 20, and then now you got to go rip one for 15 to get back to 2nd and 5.
Right.
And let's clean those up and then make sure, okay, let's way more fun to do those on first and 10.
And another issue that hit you was what was going on the defensive side of the ball with the battle of attrition that you were having to deal with guys going down. True goes down on a play. Alford ultimately is out of the game. When you look up, all of a sudden, you know, you get Ricardo Allen playing the slot, playing the nickel for you. You got two young guys in, or, you know, Phillip's been around for a while, but Jalen's out there playing some meaningful minutes for you.
I think the biggest thing was we have such belief in the guys. So if they're up, you know, and your name's called, we totally rely on you. So we don't, you know, it's your turn, go get it. And we have such belief in the guys. So when their opportunity comes up, we're ready for the next guy to stand up and go play.
Coach Jalen Collins has seen more reps here in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
How's he done?
Well, not a lot of targets went out his way yesterday. And I think it's the speed and length that you see, and he's really battling. He's improved on special teams. He's improved on the defensive side. So for him, we would hope that development would take place. And so here we are just right at the halfway mark. And there's a number of guys we really kind of put into a developmental class to say, okay, they're not ready yet, but they're going to be here soon. And so he was one of those to say, all right, can we keep pushing him and encourage him to be at his best? And Hardy was another one that was in that group.
Yeah.
Grady Jarrett was in that group. How can we help these guys develop? And I think we're seeing them, that work that they've put in post-practice time that Arch sees me do sometimes, those guys are put in that work, and now it's coming to life.
Boy, you could, and they all contributed yesterday in a lot of, in grand fashion. Mike Evans, nine targets yesterday, only three receptions, and they tried to move him around and get him on someone, yet everybody that had the opportunity to defend him did a pretty good job.
He's a unique player. I think it's the size and the strength that he plays with. He plays a physical game that we like to as well at the line of scrimmage. And so going in, you know, we knew that was going to be a battle going into the game, and it certainly was.
And you did a great job on Martin. I mean, 23 carries to get 71 yards from a guy who had come in with three straight 100-yard games and really had kind of set a bar a little bit as one of the better running backs.
He had certainly earned our respect as, the members of the defense, knowing that he's got really good feet on contact, and he makes a lot of yards after contact. So we knew tackling was going to be at the forefront. I believe we missed one or two against him as well, but we knew going in tackling was going to be the name of the game going against him.
We'd be remiss without mentioning, we talked about some of the injuries that went on defense. Maybe one of the most important people on the offensive side of the football, your center, Mike Person, was battling that ankle, trying to fight through it. The grit you talk about playing, trying to get back in there, get it retaped. James Stone jumps in there and tries to make sure that you don't miss any beats as you move on the offensive
and,
side.
Knowing Mike, he's just one of the toughest guys we got. His pain threshold is so high, so you expect him to battle every chance that he gets. And he does stand for a lot of grit. He's a really important part of the run game for us.
Well, the Falcons, of course, lose a tough one, 23-20, to Tampa. I know you talk about Mondays and moving on from this. As you turn now, and I know you got a bye after San Francisco here, but this team starting to kind of go through a little bit of this grind, bumps and bruises, those type things. How does the message resonate now? Is it changed temperament from when you visit with your club, your preparation? Is it important to stay in that schedule and in that moment?
I think it's really important to stay in the schedule. So we love the process that we go through each week. You know, okay, let's get to the game and then get right back to it in terms of all the things we can do this week to improve, to be at our best. And I think when we have a championship game mindset, at this point in the season, every player is dealing with something.
Yeah.
And how do you manage it the best? And if you need extra treatment or extra rest on your own time to make sure that happens. But as we go through the preparation for the game plan, the early part of the week, it's a lot about, you know, our opponent. And as we get towards the end of the week, it really, you know, the focus comes back to us.
I think one of the things that I thought maybe been lost on some people, and I've been fortunate enough to be out there post-practice watching you work with some guys, and you talked about Justin Hardy. Mm. And how important that was with Hankerson and Williams both down. He and Williams had to be the swing guy all across the board.
That's right.
For you. Excellent job by Hardy to absorb that information maybe he hadn't been privy to or hadn't had a chance to do a lot of reps to get ready for this game.
And we knew that was going to be a factor for him. When you can back up at multiple positions, now your value really skyrockets. So for him to have the opportunity to be at this position, that was a really important part of it.
It's interesting. He brings a different maybe skill set to the table for you in the pass game, I guess.
Yep.
I mean, it's a guy who's obviously got some speed, has ton of experience in terms of just sheer catches.
Yeah, he's got really good hands. And I think then the other factor is you can put him in a variety of roles, and he's able to handle all of them.
Hmm. Any surprise yesterday, and I know better than I probably ask this because you're never surprised by stuff, but it seemed like Lovey's team, I know they want to play that cover two shell, but it seemed like there was maybe even more of a concerted effort to try to umbrella everything and try not to let things get behind, even though Julio was able to get behind him a couple times.
I think the biggest thing is like when we have unique guys like who and like, you know, Devontae, you know, how do teams want to, you know, play their style of ball against us. And sometimes it may take a quarter, okay, they want to play this style a little bit more than that style. But that's when the balance really comes into effect. If you want to play, you know, a certain way, we've got to be able to attack, you know, whether it be in the run game or the pass game. So that's why for us having that balance is so important.
You see much game changing from what you see on tape leading up to a game, and then they throw a different hand of cards at you during the game?
It can be, and I think it's because of the uniqueness of the players. And so if you play just one style, you know, you may get, okay, we're not going to let this player beat us. And sometimes that happens where you get extra attention or extra coverage or an extra player down in the box in the run game. Those are the unique things that happened. And fortunately for us, you know, that balance, that's where it comes to life.
Well, and you talked about the respect you had for Doug Martin. I think that we're starting to see that people are starting to respect Devontae Freeman. I don't think they knew how much they knew about him, but you certainly can see it in some of the game planning you've seen the first eight games.
And then the other part of his game that probably goes, you know, unspoken about a little bit is in the pass game.
Yeah.
He can really catch it. He can play like a receiver out of the backfield. Like, you know, he can catch it. He can line up at wide out. He can come out of the backfield to catch him. So he's a complete back for sure.
And as Dave and I have noted, he will hit you like a linebacker.
Yep. He can shoulder punch. So and he's right getting close.
In the words of Dan Quinn, he's not small.
He's not small.
No, he's That's just right. short.
Yeah, he's right. just real quick before we get to our first break with Coach Dan Quinn, time for the question of the week brought to you by United BMW. Selection, incredible service. It's the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW lineup today at United BMW in Gwinnett. Roswell are online right now at 24/7 at unitedbmw.com. And, of course, you can submit your question to 929thegame.com/askthecoach. Arch, very convenient.
Okay.
Halfway through the season. What grade would you give the offense and defense up to this point? And from Sean in Atlanta. Sean, thanks for the question.
I think, that's an awesome question. All the way through eight games, I would say defensively, we're improving. And I'm going to give it a letter grade.
No, that's fine.
Coach's show, I can make my own grades, right?
Absolutely. It's your show. Right. You do what you want to do.
This is your show.
That's exactly right.
So that part, I see a lot of improvement.
Okay.
We're getting way better in the red zone in terms of defensively. We're way better in our tackling. We're not affecting the quarterback quite like I want yet. We're not ball hawking to a level that I'd be accustomed to saying we will be moving forward. On the special team side, I love the speed and the effort that we're playing with. I think Keith and his group is really fundamentally sound. They're tough. They out-hit people. The return game, can we keep finding little bits? And then yesterday we had a nice return in the punt return. We had a, you know, I think it was a 31-yard kickoff return. So
right. Can
that keep it improving? And then offensively for us to be at our best, I want to make full speed decisions with the football. We've established really good balance in terms of the way we want to run it, the way we can go attack, and then can we continue to emphasize points down in the red zone? We've had a number of times where it's ended up in a turnover,
yep.
And let's make sure when we're down there we're finishing with points. So sorry I didn't give you the
letter grade. No, Sean. But, Sean's got more than
here. Sean, that's the State of the Union at the halfway point.
That's plenty. I'd say he plenty got his money's worth for sure. So now a West Coast trip for your team. First time really going a distance under your watch. What kind of rules come into play this week with your club? Anything different because you're going three time zones to play Sunday afternoon?
Probably the biggest difference is that we're going to go early. Mm. And so we'll head out to the West Coast on Friday after we have a practice here. Do our walkthrough and our preparation there on a Saturday and then get ready to play on a Sunday. So because of the uniqueness of the time change, that's why we decided to do that.
Has that become standard operating procedure to a certain extent, Dan, with East Coast teams going west?
I know for sure it's most often with the West Coast teams heading east.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And with the time change where, you know, when you're going from west to east where it's almost like a 10 a.m. start for the kickoff.
Yeah.
But we thought it was important for us to go the other way to get acclimated. It is a long flight. And then we'll take care of practice here, fly out, do our walkthrough, and then get ready to play for the game on Sunday.
Well, I can tell you that west to east, which you had to do a number of times in Seattle, that's really difficult to do. I've been playing in San Diego and going, we had to play Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And we went out the day before, and, geez, you felt like you were just getting up and you had to play a game.
My first time in San Francisco, the NFC West at that time was Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, St. Louis, and San Francisco. I don't know if it was the NFC West. Maybe it was the NFC, whatever it was.
No,
it was
right.
The West, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody was – so there was a number of trips that were back east, and so – that was probably my first experience of going through that where there was a number of two-day trips.
Interesting. You, you're going to be one of the few guys on this team. I mean, obviously guys who you might have been connected to or guys from other spots last year who've been to this stadium.
Right.
This is a new venue for a good many of these players on the roster, I'm going to guess, though.
Yeah, so. And it's a terrific stadium. Right down, right near where their complex is in Santa Clara. They used to play up at the Stick, which was, you know, as fun as you could get because just the amount of ball and history that were played there. But this one's a good one, too.
Yeah.
And in terms of the setup and where it's at, and they've got a great fan base, so it'll be a good one for us.
You, this is a guy you've defended and defended really well in your tenure as a defensive coordinator. Colin Kaepernick, a special type of player. Now, he's had his struggles from time to time over the last season or so, but still a dynamic athlete.
I think what makes him so unique, it's the speed that he can run with when he pulls it down, and then he can throw the fastball. And when it comes time to let it rip, you know, for the crossing routes and the slants, he can really throw it. He has a very strong arm. So I think it's the combination of those two things, the run ability, a little bit of zone read, but it's more so when a coverage, okay, I don't like to throw, and now I'm going to take off. Mm-hmm. And then you combine that with how hard he can throw.
Has their playing personality, would you suspect, with Jim Tomsula kind of being there when Coach Harbaugh was there? Or can you imagine that their playing personality's changed a great deal?
I wouldn't think, just knowing the toughness, you know, and the attitude they want to play with. Some of the coaches have the same familiarity. Tom Rathman's still there, Jeep's still there, a number of the guys who you know, wanted to play in that unique style, the toughness and the finishing. So, and then they're still, you know, a 3-4 based team. You know, Eric's there, and but they have some of the same guys back. So, you know, I would see the similarities between, you know, what they have played and in the personnel that they're able to utilize and find out what their guys do best.
Dan, how much do you glean from a game like last week when a St. Louis team, a team you know extremely well, having had to defend and get ready for that team, and how they were able to affect the 49ers? They did a pretty good job. Now, they've got some elite players on their defensive side of the ball, but how much does that help you?
I think it really looked, when you go back and you look at the games, you say, okay, what are the unique things that a team does? How are some of the things that may have happened in that game? Mm-hmm. Okay, that could be repeated, or that might have been a play that was unique for them based on how they played. So that's kind of the coaching job, is to go through and filter out these are the things that we likely get based on the style that we play.
Interesting. I was asked last week in a question, and we haven't visited here on this. The NFL has got this perception that everybody's a lot of the same. And the question I was asked is, in the last few years, it seems there's a little bit wider a dynamic in this league than people think.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think especially offensively, in terms of how do they use their featured players. I think more now than ever, we're seeing more three receiver sets, you know, that we have. And this past year, I think when we went through around the league, that had been the number one personnel group that had been used, three receivers, compared to in years past where it was, you know, fullback and a halfback and two receivers, or two tight ends and two receivers. So when we went back through in the whole league in general, offensively, the number one group had been a, you know, some form of a three wide receiver set. I think, okay, how are people using those guys in different ways?
What do you think's brought that about? Is that the college game getting wider east to west on the field?
I think that's certainly a factor. And knowing there's so many explosive players at receiver, and how do they get them on the field and spread the field out in that way. So there's so many colleges that feature that style of offense. When you're looking for a true fullback, there's just not as many of them that are playing that same style in the college game today.
As you look at it in perspective, or in respect to your team, how much have you seen it change from week one, where they might not have known personnel and how it matches with what you want to do and Kyle, to now here you're on week eight? Are you starting to see some common similarities of how they want to defend or get after you?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, offensively, how do we want, you know, we've got running game, we've got the, you know, receivers and the quarterbacks that are able to do things in the pass game. So that we're hoping to have balance. And now at the halfway mark, knowing that we are, that's really important. I think defensively, you know, knowing we're going to play some three deep and man-to-man principles, are we seeing some of the routes that could repeat, you know, week after week? And so we're seeing some of that as well.
So if you were to look at collective stats after eight games and you see, okay, our turnover number is 14, the opponent's is 12, we understand, we talked about that in the first segment about the relation to winning and losing. 235 run plays, 209 catches. Now, that doesn't account for the attempts, but that number, is that kind of where you're looking offensively?
I would hope so. Usually when we're over 50 in terms of completions and runs in a game, our time of possession's up. We're able to, you know, continue to gain yards. So that part of it, our time of possession, we're able to hold it longer. We've been able to convert on some fourth downs, which has enabled some drives to continue. So there's a lot of good things out there for us.
When you look at it, and obviously the albatross is the turnovers, and that's what you're trying. You're going to try to get fixed. And I was talking to a number of people. It's not a thing you can just throw a blanket on. There's individual, and there's been some screwy ones, Dan.
That's right.
I mean, balls on the ground with the center, which you don't expect. So it's going to be a little bit more of an individual concentration on the details to get a fix.
That's correct. And I think one of the things I love about our team is in practice, it's the way the defense can go after the ball to also train the offense and to know, okay, if it's going to be out there, they're going to go after it. And same thing for the offensive, you know, guys when they're going, like, make the defensive guys have to go after the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
it goes both ways, you know, when you really work at it against one another.
Well, and you know, too, as a long-time guy on the defensive side, there's some near misses, too.
Yep.
And it's sometimes a bounce here and there, but there are also some real near misses.
Yes.
You had a couple of those yesterday.
And those are the ones, when those ops come, man, do we want to just convert like crazy on them.
Are you still – I would assume the answer is yes to this, but you're still learning what some of these guys can do as well, aren't you? I mean, you can only get so much at OTAs in the preseason, but you're still kind of figuring out some guys.
And there's some guys that are really coming on, like Robinson Therese is one that's, you know, making progress as we're going on here. We talked about Jalen Collins, and are these guys ready to take the conversion from also knowing their assignment and then now knowing my assignment and continue to be a ball hawk?
Yeah.
There's another level that you can go to after you have that assignment down.
Is, to a degree, I know he missed a couple games with injury. Is Coleman also in that group? I mean, just based on the way he backs up Devontae as the season has unfolded?
Right. He just has the speed. And every once in a while when he gets it, you're just waiting for the one cut to happen or the one play to go, you know, because you know the speed is there for sure. So we'll lean on him for sure as we're going out throughout the year. And, like, the good part for us, we're just right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And just getting done the second quarter of football, there's so much out there for us to play. And I'm hoping that we're going to continuing to work on our fundamentals to be at our best moving forward.
It's so interesting how each weekend seems to kind of have its own different personality.
Right.
I mean, I would have never have guessed the Giants and the Saints would play to a 52-49 game. And
yeah, it made my
13,
stomach hurt as a
13,
defensive
as a
coach
defense,
here.
13 touchdown passes. I mean, but that's not necessarily what you're going to get the following week.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be kind of an interesting and maybe challenging from a coaching standpoint to get ready each and every
Well, when you face the good quarterbacks, you know they're, you know, they get hot and they get going. And then all of a sudden, just like, didn't we say Matt yesterday had a time where he was, what was the numbers that he had?
He pleaded 17 in a row.
17 in a row.
25 of 26 in the second half.
When the guys get rolling, okay, what are we going to do to get this guy off the spot? And I'm sure that was probably the case last night in that game.
Well, it's funny to hear the old defensive coach.
Yeah, that was.
And you're still a defensive coach, even though you're the head guy, okay? But the stomach queasies on 960 yards combined passing.
Let me tell you something.
Even though you're not involved in the game,
Steve,
right?
Steve Spagnuolo and Rob Ryan are having those same feelings right now. I can assure you of that.
Oh, me. When you think about the second half, do you have a checklist now as you start? Do you divide it? I know you talk quarters. Is there a second half checklist for this team now?
I think for us there is. And
okay.
For us to be at our best, we're going to keep working our fundamentals like crazy.
Okay.
The line of scrimmage play, how good can we get at our technique? And it's that timing that we go, and the practice part is totally crucial for us to be at our best. So we love the chance that we get to go good on good, right at it. And we do that every Wednesday and every Thursday just for that purpose of, you know, making sure we're at our best. So right in the middle of it, and we know we got a long way to go to improve. But the mindset, the toughness, the attitude of the players, I'm really encouraged.
Well, we're looking forward to visiting with Jacob Tammy. Thank you, as always. Good luck on Sunday. Look forward to being at Levi's Stadium, seeing that place for the first time.
Yeah, it's a good venue for us. And just, you know, the tradition of ball at Candlestick was awesome.
Yeah.
And that'll be a good spot, too.
Let's go get us a win.
You got it.
And welcome back to the Coach's Show. Time for the Player Spotlight this week. Great to welcome Jacob Tammy here with us. And, of course, you heard the touchdown there a moment ago. And part of the Atlanta comeback got the ball game to overtime. And, of course, Tampa won it in overtime 23-20. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it this week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has kind of been an interesting season because of the start and now, I guess, kind of in the middle of the road of fighting through some inner demons that every football team goes through. You're a veteran guy in this league. How do you handle times like this, Jacob?
Well, I think you just keep plugging, keep grinding. I mean, it's been a little bit of a weird thing with our turnovers and our two losses. You have some stuff happen that just, you know, it just doesn't happen very often. And we can't have it happen. And, you know, we can all be a little bit better. I think we can all be a little better on the details. You know, I could have been better on the pick we threw before the half. We could have been better all over the game and
sure.
little things here and there. And I know I'll work to get all of my stuff exactly right where I want it. And I think we have everybody on offense that'll do that.
I thought that was something that Matt talked about after the game. You spoke about it. You and I had a chance to visit after the game as well. And he talked about there's really nothing you could throw a blanket on that says, okay, this will take care of the turnovers. They're little screwy individual things, as you said, individual things that each guy needs to concentrate on, whether it's that zone read play where Devontae can't clamp on it so hard that Ryan can't pull it out, those type of things. But it's all stuff that you can get fixed and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know. I mean, it's not like that's the great thing. That's the positive thing. The positive thing is we're good. We're really good, which is a good thing. And the negative is, you know, we lost a game where, you know, you feel like we hurt ourselves, obviously. That's what I mean. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to keep improving on the details. You know, it's not like we can't do it. It's just a matter of the details and an attitude of finishing every drive. You know, we've had a lot of turnovers in the red zone, even inside the 15-yard line, 10-yard line, that, you know, more than I've maybe even ever seen. So it's not like it's not like we're not doing good things. And now it's just a matter of getting the attitude to finish those drives and just being on the details and not having those little miscues.
Jacob Tammy's with us in the Player Spotlight this week in the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Couple of things. The red zone piece as opposed to the turnovers and the penalties, how does that fit in kind of where you want to fix and what you want to polish here as you guys move forward, particularly Sunday in San Francisco?
Yeah. You know, I think the penalties and the turnovers kind of go into the same area, which is just being on the details. I think this, the fact that some of the penalties and especially the turnovers have happened in the red zone is just really strange. It's crazy, you know, mm-hmm. to drive the ball all the way down the field and then have something happen and give it away on the 5-10 yard line. And it's happened a couple times in both our losses. So that's the part where, you know, you can't do anything about it except get on the details and do it all, you know, every day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then just translate that into Sunday. I think we have been working hard every week. We've been preparing hard. Occasionally weird stuff happens, but that's not an excuse. That, you know, it's a matter of just finding a way to get a little bit better during the week so that on Sunday we do finish those drives.
It seems like it's the case every week, no matter what city you're in, what teams are playing, the plus-minus ratio in giveaway-takeaway is really where it falls down to. -7 of the Falcons in their two losses, +5 in the win. So it obviously factors out that way. Were you guys surprised at all at how much zone they played? I was a little surprised that there wasn't more pressure, that they played a lot of zone but really committed 7 guys to try to stop the run.
Yeah, they did. They did show us a lot of zone, you know, and they got the lead on us. You know, that allowed them to do that even more so, I think. But we still found ways to pick at it and get back in the game. And that's really, you mentioned the turnovers. Very rarely when you're -4 do you have a chance to win the game. And I think that's a testament to the grit we have on our team, type of guys we have, the fight. And we did come back and execute, you know, and despite being -4, I mean, it's hard enough -1 or -2. I mean, we're talking about -4.
Right.
And me and everybody else in the building knows we're going to go win that game once we tied it up. I mean, so it was frustrating as heck that we did not finish it off. But there are positives to take from it. The main thing is, you know, we can't be -4.
And the interesting part you just mentioned a moment ago, and it's something we can follow up with here, this is a good team. I mean, and this is a team that's kind of come together pretty quick. I remember we were in the spring together at the golf event, and we were talking just about all the new guys here, and you were one of those new guys. When did this momentum start with this football team? Did it start back then? Did it really gel in training camp when you got everybody together and it became a bit more of a regimented schedule? Or are there bits and pieces along the way here that has made this football team successful?
Well, I think there's bits and pieces along the way. I think really any good team, any team that really gels probably starts way back in OTAs, or
sure,
even before OTAs, when it's just workouts, you know, when you're just in the weight room with each other. And I think we've had guys that have been working to make that happen ever since then. And it's really still a process, to be honest with you. It's still happening. You know, when you do have a lot of new faces like we did here this year, it starts way back before OTAs and it continues. You know, the closer you get, I've always said the NFL teams that are most like my high school teams are the ones that are most successful. It's hard at this level to have an NFL team that's a bunch of guys like your high school team was, because it's a business.
Yeah.
And people are in and out, and there's all this money involved. But when you can get it that way, when guys do come together and play for each other, because that's what football's about. You know, football, when you football's about the way it's played at the high school level. You know, that's football, when you're out there battling for your brother. And when you can get that at the NFL level,
right,
I think you can get an edge. And I think we're building toward that.
Jacob Tammy in our player spot here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Jacob, talk about the obviously the evolution of the relationship that you and Ryan are beginning to develop. We were had the pleasure of watching Tony Gonzalez in his years here, and Ryan really seemed to really begin to blend with him, and obviously to the extent where he was kind of a go-to guy. You're starting to see that from our perspective,
yeah.
And I know you haven't been here long enough to maybe see that, but it's starting to feel like he's really beginning to lean on you. 10 catches yesterday, over 100 yards, the touchdown. Talk about how that relationship's developing.
Well, I've loved Matt since the day I got here. It's been a lot of fun to be around Matt. Obviously, everyone talks about the fact that I've been with Peyton for my whole career, and that was a huge blessing. Peyton's one of my best friends. I love playing with him. And coming here, you know, Matt has been everything I thought he would be and more. You know, he is like Peyton in a lot of ways, and the way he prepares, the way he leads. Matt is, I think, an elite quarterback in this league. So to be on an offense where you feel like every time a guy can make all the throws and get you in the right spots, that's a lot of fun. You know, from my perspective, as far as catches and yards and all that, you know, I want to be available and in the right spot and ready to make a play whenever the ball comes to me. So some games that'll be couple times, some games that might be a bunch of times, and you know, whatever we can do to help get that ball in the end zone, that's what I'm going to try to do.
Let me ask you a little bit more about that in your relationship with Ryan, and I'm not asking you to compare him, because Peyton Manning is incomparable, okay, one of the greats, mm-hmm. maybe the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But when you start talking about you have played with that guy and you understand what that position is required to do at this level, and what Ryan is able to do, give the fan an idea, because there is some criticism now being handed towards Ryan as he's in a slump and all this kind of stuff. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the slump thing, like, I get it. I mean, I understand. But a lot of times people on the outside don't really understand. Mm. You know, for instance, the pick before the half, that was on me, not Matt. You know, maybe he could have thrown it somewhere else, but I shouldn't have let that ball get picked. I moved when I shouldn't have moved. So there's one. You know, another game, we had a thing. People went the wrong way on the screen pass, ended up getting tipped and intercepted. You know, I mean, it's just little stuff here and there that, you know, Matt's going to be fine. Matt's preparing hard every week, and we're going to be fine there. That's that stuff is just, you know, on the when people ask, someone asked me last week, it's like, no one's we're not concerned about Matt. So it's going to be fine there. The offense, we're doing a lot of good things. As far as comparing to Peyton, yeah, you mean you can't really compare, but what I can compare is they have a lot of similarities. Matt, the way he prepares, the way he leads. Mm. But, you know, it's one thing to be a leader on Sundays, and it's another thing to be a leader every day,
yeah,
during the week. And that's something that Peyton always had, from the beginning of the first day of off season until the end of the season. And that's something that Matt has too. And that's what is fun for me to play with in the quarterback.
It's interesting. Dave brought up the comparison with Manning and the similarities in terms of the guys and getting ready to play and the leadership and stuff like that. When we were told you were going to be with us here today, first thing I thought of is you wrote your name in the record book yesterday with the Falcons, with Julio Jones. First guys in Falcon history with double figure catches and 100 or more yards in the same game. And then I started thinking, well, wait a second. You played with Demaryius Thomas in Denver, Eric Decker in Denver, I guess, for a time, right?
Mm-hmm. Couple good ones in Indianapolis.
And follow me here, because you were with Marvin Harrison and those guys in Indianapolis too.
Uh-huh.
Jacob, in the dynamic of your career, you've kind of always had some guys here that allowed you to grow. You learned from them. They learned from you. Not many guys get that opportunity who play in this league like that, do they?
I've been around some unbelievable teammates. It's been really cool for me.
I mean, even guys like Jeff Saturday at center and
like that. Yeah, I mean, Marvin Harrison's last year was my rookie year.
Right.
So, you know, tell a story about him. He spoke to me about – our lockers were like three lockers apart. And,
yeah,
like week 8, I was on the training room table, and he came up and said, you know, "What's up, Jacob?" And I was like, "Wow, Marvin knows my name."
In week eight, that's good.
Yeah, like week eight. But, you know, he was the nicest guy. He didn't really say much. You know, he's a quiet guy, but he was very nice to me. Reggie Wayne, and then in Denver, I was with Demarius and Eric and Wes Welker.
Right.
And so, and Julius Thomas, you know, a heck of a player at tight end. So, I've had a lot of great teammates, and it's been fun to be a part of some good offenses.
How then do you, from your perspective, gauge where this is? And we talked earlier here at the top about some of the tough spots in the season. You've been through some of this stuff with some of the best players in the league. Do you kind of recall some of the things you've been through when it relates to situations like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, no offense to you guys or anybody else, but I think the key is don't worry about stuff outside the walls.
It's, right.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, you know, the really good teams that I've been on, when you go, every team goes through something like this where you have some turnovers and you lose a game and everyone's frustrated. The key is, what do you do? You know, do you start listening to people and worrying about what other people are saying? Because what other people are saying is going to be determined by what we go do from this point forward.
Right.
You know, if we come out and keep progressing as the season goes, then people will say what you want people to say, which is, you know, it's a good team and all that. But if you're worried about what people are saying, then, you know, stuff gets affected. So I think the bottom line is, how do we keep improving as a team, you know, as an offense? How do we keep improving and worrying about that and just staying together? Then the closer we get, you know, when bad things happen, that's when you find out, you know, how close are you. And the fact we had a bunch of bad things happen yesterday and, again, still had a chance to come back and win the game was a good thing. Now it's just a matter of correcting those things. Let's not get in that situation. Let's come out. Let's just stay together and get closer.
How cool has this been for you? I think a lot of people thought Jacob Tammy, really good pass-catching tight end, probably won't help you in the run game. That has not been the case at all. You've been a very big part of them running the football. Toy Lolo coming in the game as well. Your guys' ability to secure edge and Devontae running the football. You've been on some really good passing teams, and your teams have had some success running, but now you're one of the top five rushing teams in the league, and you're one of those reasons why.
Well, this has been really cool for me. You know, the run game part has been really cool. I think I've been on teams that ran the ball, you know, fine, but never like this. Never a team where you can come out and know that you can go get 5, 10, 15 yards a pop. So, you know, we have a lot of confidence in our run game. Everyone believes in it. We're going to keep working it. We're going to keep getting better at it. But, yeah, you know, our tight end room, Levine's been doing a heck of a job. You know, when I'm in there, you know, I know we all have the same attitude, and it's that what are we going to do to give Devontae or Tevin or whoever's back there room to make a play for us, and everyone's on the same page. All 11 guys are on the same page, and that's what's been cool about the run game since I've got here. And they give us, you know, we all have a chance to be aggressive and just go grind. And that's what I want to be able to do in the run game. Just let's just go get them. Let's go get after them, and let's give them a chance to hit a hole. And, you know, if we can keep doing that, we'll keep improving on that too.
Too quick a visit today. We don't have enough time to talk about favorite golf courses, favorite foursomes.
About Wildcats.
Wildcats.
Yeah, we got to get him back.
Two good topics.
Golf courses and Wildcats or golf courses and foursomes?
Golf courses and Wildcats.
Okay, got it.
Watch yourself now.
Well, no, foursomes playing golf now. You know what I mean. Great to have you with us. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Yeah, thank you, guys.